episode 33. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How is it going? I'm a little bit better this week than I was last week, so let's record.
Yeah, I am actually don't sound like my throat got ran over by a freight train. I'm off my painkillers from my hand, but my thumb still hurts. So, and the stitches are still in, so that's affecting my gameplay, obviously.
Oh, and you got to get those removed, too, so that's going to be great.
Yeah, and then we'll see what kind of bandages that looks like. So, all right, we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that releases every Thursday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. We talk about everything that's going on in the world of gaming. If mobile news is relevant, we'll talk about that. If any kind of live events are relevant, we talk about that, as well as all the other randomness that is going on in the world now, good, bad, or indifferent. So again, I hope everyone is safe and healthy and doing what they can to their part to slow the spread of this COVID thing. And I also hope that everyone is taking care of themselves and as safe as possible with all the other the protesting and everything that's going on. I hope if you are protesting, more power to you. But I just hope that you are trying to be as peaceful as possible. And I hope you do not have any crazy encounters, because the stuff that I have seen over the last week, both from the protesters and from the enforcement, is kind of ridiculous.
Yep.
So, so please just do what you can, do your part, and just be peaceful and just help be part of the solution and not part of the problem. All right.
Yep.
We do have some news and some things to go over. Like I said, we are the weekly podcast. We are live on Twitch this week. We didn't do Twitch last week just because of all the stuff going on in the world. But we did release a show for you last week, as well as early June, we released our second episode of our bonus content for our Patreon subscribers. You guys are killing it with Patreon. Thank you so much. Our support has been amazing. So if you want to listen to our E3 memories or our retail stories, you can join the $7 tier on Patreon. If you want the podcast 24 hours early, you can join the $5 tier on Patreon. And if you want access to the private Discord server that we have, it's $3 on Patreon. You also get access to that Discord server if you are a Twitch sub. You may have to message me on Discord or on Twitter to tell me who you are if you don't have access to that as a Twitch sub. But if you link your Twitch and your Discord, it does it automatically. Michael.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already in Discord as a mod, so I don't need to do that.
So, but this Discord is growing every week. Facebook group is growing every week, and our downloads have been growing every week. And again, just sharing the show. I put something in the Facebook group the other day and on Twitter, just asking for your guys' help. Something as simple as retweeting the podcast on Twitter, sharing the podcast on sharing any of our Facebook posts, whether they're when anytime we post from the page, the like page, if you can just hit share, you don't even have to write anything. So you hit share, it says write post, you click write post, and then you click post, and it just literally says your name, and then it shows the Digital Days Gaming post that was posted. And more visibility, more eyes on it showed, you know, obviously we can pay to have things be more visible on Facebook, but without paying last week, with the one that I asked everybody to share, got way more eyes on it than something we'd gotten a long time ago. So again, that's a free way for you to support the show and reviewing the show as well. We had an uptick in reviews. So if you are listening to the show and if you can review the show, not just stars, if you can actually write something, that helps tremendously as well. So you guys did an awesome job of that last week. I know you can only review once, but sharing and retweeting helps tremendously. The putting on Twitter, putting the hearts or likes, whatever you want to call it on Twitter, that helps. But the retweeting actually shows it up on your timeline, and that's the visibility. And that's what we're looking for right now. We're just looking for more eyes. The more eyes we get, you know, like as an example, if we get 100 new people to look at us, maybe 5 download it, and that's great. All right, we're going to jump right into the news. So this is supposed to be, I don't know if you realize this or not, Michael, but today we would probably, hopefully, have been at a press conference.
Yeah, right around now we would have been at a Sony press conference, maybe, possibly, probably not. and we would be doing something related to E3, and Tuesday we would have been on the show floor. So if you want to hear us talk about E3, definitely check out Patreon. But last week, we were supposed to have a bunch of stuff. PS5 reveal event, I believe there was a Cyberpunk video that was supposed to hit, and then the Guerrilla Collective, which is the indie showcase. Those, thankfully, were pushed back due to all the protesting and everything going on in the USN and around the world eventually with the protests. So luckily the video game industry, I feel like they did the right thing. They read the room and was like, now is not the time to try and fight over the spotlight. And they gave the spotlight to the protests. And that was very important. So the PS5 reveal is set for this week. If you're watching live, it's going to happen Thursday. If you are listening on Thursday, hopefully Friday we'll have a recap of what happens then in a separate podcast episode. The Guerrilla Collective is happening June 13th to the 16th, so over the weekend. Cyberpunk moved to June 25th. And then EA Play, which was going to be June 11th, got pushed back to June 18th. And I hate crediting Dave with stuff, but he said the PlayStation reveal event was probably going to be like a domino effect with news. And soon as Sony said they were going to pull out of their original date, every event that was happening after Sony then delayed a week.
There's got to be marketing ties to all this stuff.
There has to be.
Yeah. There must be some feature that PS5 is talking about on their event that's in these games. I don't know, like, and whether it's how the controller is going to function with it, whether how the touchpad's going to work, how the create button's going to work, or any of that stuff. There has to be something that Sony is saying on their event that is even has dictation to EA as well. Because, like, why would EA delay that far?
Yeah, I would assume, my guess is we're going to find out what PlayStation's answer to smart delivery is. Mm-hmm. And at the end of every one of these game trailers at EA or the Indie Collective, it's going to be PlayStation's equivalent of smart play or smart delivery. And that is enough for Sony to be like, hey, can everyone push back?
Because there's been, so like,
knock this
it's June, and by now we would know whatever Call of Duty is for October, November, like October, we would, you know, early November, whatever, whenever it comes out, we would know by now what the game is. But Activision's deal with Sony, I guarantee you, is tied to this event, because we're going to see a new COD trailer on Thursday the 11th. And then, again, so there's got to be something. EA is, you know, whatever, if it's the new Needs for Speed, or if it's, you know, like, I don't even know what it would be, because EA doesn't really, they have partnerships with Xbox for
Dragon Age?
It could be, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to think, yeah. Anthem, but that's 2? Always been
2.0. Yeah. Like, who knows, you know? But
that would be such a fucking bummer if, like, at the PS5 review, it's like, play Anthem 2.0.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited. I'm ready for, I'm ready for the PS5. I'm ready to see games. Like, and I don't even care. Like, I don't expect to see what the hardware looks like. I don't expect to get a date. I don't expect to get a price. But I'm ready just to see a reason to buy the games. And like we talked about last week of the Jim Ryan interview that he had about stuff has to be only on PS5. Like, they better knock it out of the park on Thursday. Like, and if they have something similar to the Xbox third party event, like, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt them bad. I hope what they have, and I think what they have compared to what everybody else ran away from, like when Sony said, hey, we're not going to do it on this day on June 6th or whatever, or June 4th, everybody kind of pulled back. So I'm hoping that there's a reason that everybody pulled back, and it's not just, you know, the reason that everybody pulled back is the valid reason, but I'm hoping that Sony is the big domino, and then we start getting some really cool stuff.
Yeah. So last week we saw a lot of publishers. I think every major console manufacturer put out statements in support of the protests, Black Lives Matters, and just the Black community in general. So that was good to see. One of the most interesting ones, though, was Call of Duty in Modern Warfare and in Warzone just put out a Black Lives Matters post in the game. And I believe they're one of the only companies to put messaging in game, which I thought was a really great move. And just, it's a way just to, like, kind of force people not to run away from the issues, of just be like, hey, this needs attention, this is valid, and they put it in a game. I I'm afraid to know what the comment sections on any Call of Duty posts were in retaliation to that. Probably not good. Infinity Ward then took an extra step that they are going to put more of an effort into kind of knocking racist content out of their games, which...
Good luck.
It's one of those things where it sucks that it took all of this for them to be like, hey, we're going to put an effort into taking care of this stuff. Really sucks that it takes that, but it's also a big endeavor.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can screen your Activision names a little bit better. You can try to screen your PSN names. You can screen Xbox names, Steam names, all that stuff. You can screen, but by the way, Steam has terrible, terrible systems in place for your Steam names. The stuff I've seen is just ridiculous.
And people change them so much.
Yeah. And then, but the hardest thing to control, and I think it's also why, like, you know, you always see online is never rated, is because, like, what we're doing right now, like, you cannot control voice chat. Like, there's nothing that you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you can maybe put a bot in there that, like, listens for certain things. But, I mean, with the quality, the vast different quality of microphones and everything that people are using and headsets and music that people play in the background, like, we've all been in that group chat that we mute immediately because somebody's playing some song in the background or whatever, like,
or there's saying some horrible shit.
Yeah, there's just no way that
it's one of those they need to put better report systems in their games, which means people will abuse the report system. That happens no matter what. Overwatch has gone through their report system so many different times to try and find the perfect balance, and they still haven't found it. I could imagine that most of the conversations in-game are recorded for a temporary amount of time, so I'm hoping that they have some sort of system that it's like, okay, a report was said during this game, here's the audio from that game, but you either need to have someone monitoring that, a human being monitoring that, or you need to have a bot doing it, and then a bot is where it's going to get messy.
Well, yeah, and also I feel like that's somewhat of a violation of some kind of privacy.
No, it's in EULA. No, everything.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody's going to listen to my PSN chat, you know, like, that's kind of weird.
Well, no, in-game chat is the only thing that they'll probably be able to do. PSN could very well, in their EULA, say that they record all the PSN chats, which they probably do, to be completely honest. So they definitely could do that.
I can't
but it's one of those
how much memory that is.
Yeah, but I would assume it would have to be they just keep it blogged if a report happens, and then they just dump everything.
It goes away every 36 hours or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough battle. Other games have come out and said that they're going to be more proactive and taking like moderation more important. So hopefully we see something from that. It's nice to see them being proactive about it, because they could have easily have just done like, hey, we threw the message out and walk away. There's people donating and
there's been like a huge
thing.
Like, there's been a huge streams for support for bail money for these people, like, for, you know, people that are protesting peacefully. Some of the people that, you know, that I associate with, Khalif and Paris and Cypher, I've done a really great job with raising money for bail. That's been really cool. And then the other thing that Activision did that I thought was interesting, Chandler brought this up. I haven't like logged in and played, but I looked. I was reading through some of his tweets the other day from PlayStation Lifestyles. You actually have to hit a button on the Black Lives Matter screen. It's not just a like a loading screen message. Like, you, it's almost like accepting, you know, TOS. Like, it's like, okay, hey, we want you to be aware that this is here, and you actually have to hit a button and acknowledge that. You know, it's not something you can like turn the game on and go make a sandwich and come back and you're back at the main menu.
No, you actually have to interact with it, which I think is great. Just for sure. People can't run away from it. You know, we talk about like games as escapism, but we're at a certain point with how society's going that you can't escape from this. You need to face it head on. And, you know, you don't want to see the message, maybe get with the protesters. Fight, you know, just do something. It's been great to see everyone, like, come together. And hopefully we can see some sort of change from that. But let's shift gears just a little bit. Dave, do you remember the game Crucible that I talked about 2 weeks ago?
I do, and it sounds like, based on what I was seeing over the last couple of days and weeks, like, this game is in trouble already.
Yes, so they, in order to fix the game, are removing two of its three modes, because no one there's not enough players playing to fill all three modes.
Thank God your game is free to play.
Yes. So this is the game from Amazon Warehouse. I think it's Amazon Warehouse. Amazon Lumberyard, which is a fucked up name for a company, if you think about it. And they released this free-to-play shooter, which is kind of MOBA-esque sort of game. Currently on Steam, the player count is under 1,000. The concurrent player count is just been under 1,000. And that's a peak 1,000. And then it drops significantly lower on Twitch, which is kind of crazy because like Amazon owns Twitch, and even their game can't get more than 100 views at any one time on Twitch.
Well, so, I think that has to do with partially the fact that the game is not popular. So if you're not playing it, you're not watching it.
But Amazon could have easily have done what Apex Legends did and just pay a bunch of streamers. Hey, here's this game, stream it, and then they could have taken it over, and it wouldn't have cost them too much because they own Twitch. They're Amazon. They have money.
Yeah, I wonder if this is just kind of like laying the groundwork for what they're trying to do. Like this is their first step to see how much this costs and what it does and how it works, and hopefully that means that something's better. But yeah, you could have gotten, you know, and maybe they reached out to some of these people and they played the game and they're like, no, like no matter what, I mean, there's nothing that I've seen from you talking about it or anybody else talking about it that says, hey, you know what? I want to go check it out.
Yes, but money could have easily bought some streamers.
For how long,
though? They didn't even go that route. As long as that, it depends on how big that check is. You know, like I see enough streamers pushing shitty mobile games on people. They definitely could have reached out and
yeah,
done
but I don't something. Think that you would have gotten the top streamers though, the ones that you wanted.
No, but you probably could have got some like lower level streamers that are just hungry for anything and done something and got the numbers at least above 1,000, you know, concurrent stream users and 100 Twitch viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking two of the modes out to focus on the most popular mode, so they can at least have people fill in those games. Which is actually the mode I liked. It's like the Heart of the Hive, I believe is the mode's name. That is the only mode that I liked from what I played of the couple hours. So it's good that they're focusing on that. And the developers are working on bringing voice chat, in-game text chat, a mini map, and more call-out features.
Okay.
Which
that
is crazy.
It's not acceptable that wasn't in the game at launch in 2020.
Right? Like, I still, like, when I was playing it, and I think I talked about it 2 weeks ago, I thought maybe I was doing something wrong, and I was just like, wow.
I could see maybe, like, not a text chat, but voice chat should be a guarantee at this point in time. But, some form of voice chat, yes, I know you can think that everybody's going to use Discord or whatever, but you still need to have the option in the game, because people are still, you know, most of my friends initially early on playing video games came from in-game chats, where you actually meet somebody that's a decent human being, and then you become friends with them, and then you like, when, obviously, on PS3, we didn't even have party chat, but then PS4, you had party chat. And I'm still not a fan of being in a party chat with 6 or 7 people and us playing 4 or 5 different games. Like, I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, I hate that. Anytime I get those invites, I leave.
I mean, there might be, like, I might be in a party chat with 2 or 3 people and we're, like, trying to figure out what we're going to do that day, and then somebody might be playing something else or finishing something else and eventually he's going to come to the game that we're playing, you know, but for us to, like, for me to be actively in a party chat with somebody, I can tolerate, like, one person playing a different game, but 80% of your group has to be at least playing the same game.
So. Yeah, it just baffles my mind that they didn't launch with that, like, even the text chat, like, at the bare minimum, the text chat, just so you can point stuff out, yeah. Or, like, when...
Maybe not a physical, like, typing chat, but even, like, pre-made messages that you can, like, hit the button, you know, hit, I don't,
they
on a
keyboard.
They have
emotes, they have dance emotes, but they
no,
didn't
but
have
I meant, like, even, like, when you're playing, like, Battlefield on console, like, you can still, like, press down L2 and hit R1 and up, and you can say, go to point A. Like,
yeah.
It's a predetermined, I can't think of the, like, it's a pre-written phrase, and, yeah. You know, like, it's a way to communicate versus, you know, like... All right, Destiny has in-game chat on PC, and it's great. Like, I can go to, like, I've never really done it before because PS4 doesn't support it, but I was doing some stuff in Destiny over the last couple of days, and I can just, you know, there's 12 people in an instance on a planet, and I can type a message in there like, hey, I'm trying to do this. Are you guys looking to do this? And they'll respond. I don't have to talk to the person. I can just text chat of what I'm trying to accomplish, and they might be trying to accomplish the same thing, and we can work together. I never really did that before in a game.
Yeah, there's so many things they could have done with this. I wonder what happened, because this game has been in development quite a long time, because Amazon talked about getting into the gaming development industry many, many years ago, so this has been in the works, and it just seems DOA, and there's not much of an audience, and, you know, as much as we, you know, give Anthem shit, in terms of like, hey, Anthem had a bad launch and they might reboot it. At least they had people playing at launch. They might not have stuck around, but they have enough people that were playing at launch that if Anthem 2.0 does happen, they might get a chunk of those people to come back.
I'll check it out again.
Yeah. Crucible, on the other hand. Crucible, on the other hand, had nobody.
If you swing and miss at launch, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you might, like a game might hit, you know, you
a
know,
single,
like, barely. You might hit a little dinker to like the third baseman or something like that, or you might hit, you know. But at least you made contact. But it's just interesting. These companies that have all this money and they can, and it's still fascinating to me. Of like, you see how other companies are. All right, hang on. You see how other companies are struggling, and what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, and then you choose to not look at that and go the direction and keep, you know, like, and I'm completely losing my train of thought for some reason. Like, there's a playbook of things not to do, and there's a playbook of things to do. So we've seen games not be successful because of ABC, and we've seen games be successful because of ABC. Therefore, look at the games that are successful because of ABC and not go through the playbook of, I think that I can fix this problem.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't understand how this game came out the way it did. But it did. And I don't see them recovering from this, like, at all. But, well, I guess we'll see. For a free-to-play game, too, especially, you have to knock it out of the park. Which brings me to our next game. So, speaking of a game that kind of, like, didn't hit when it first released, but they're continuing to work on it, Ghost Recon Breakpoint. They are finally going to add AI co-op companions to the game, so you can play it solo, because I guess previously you would either play by yourself or you would have to co-op to have a full squad. But they are going to finally add that in July, which I think is a big deal. The reason I put it in there, it's because it's just, we talk about it, a lot, in terms of like how Ubisoft has like a long tail on all their games, and they do whatever they can to continue to let the games, you know, find a life, find a place, and they, hopefully this will be something big for Breaking Point. I don't know how much they can do for the game, but it just shows that Ubisoft still cares about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, when the game was announced, it was like a huge thing that I remember going to the event, and it was like one of our top questions, and they said, or when the trailer came out, that was like one of the first comments, like when it was announced at like E3 or whatever, like people are like, hey, is this blah, 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 blah. I don't see this. And they said, okay, like at launch, it's not going to have it. But, you know, we are actively looking at it. And it, you know, wasn't there. So,
yeah.
And then it took a long time. And I don't really know why it took a long time. And just like we were talking about with Crucible, like, sorry, like this is too late.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people that are looking forward to it, but a year out, I would assume most of the people are kind of done with that story, and there's no reason for them to go back. But I'm guessing it's going to hit like some sale prices, and maybe you'll get a new
rush of people. Their free weekend stuff with it. Like they'll pull it up. I mean, like, and try to salvage it or whatever. And if anybody, you know, like I'm still haven't really gone back to it, so That's not for any particular reason or in particular reason, just no desire to go to it. But them having AI in it or not having AI in it, it's not going to make me play it or not play it. So,
yeah. Okay. Should I move on to the next story?
Yeah.
All right. This one is kind of funny. THQ Nordic, who we always talk about, or I guess their Embracer group now, they had one of their re-releases leaked before it was announced. And it is Kingdom of Amalur, which is a game that was kind of underrated. It was actually better than it had any right to be, from Kurt Schilling's 38 Studios. So this has a long history. It was leaked on the Microsoft Store, and it was just kind of confirmed on Twitter that it is real and it exists, which is just probably not the way they were expecting to announce this game, but they kind of had no choice on that matter. So they just had to confirm it's real and put the pre-orders up. So it just came out in the most, like, undramatic and unceremonious way of just, it was leaked on a store and confirmed on Twitter, and it's coming out August 18th. I'm fascinated by the development of this game, just because this is the Kurt Schilling's 38 Studios, where he, I think, he put $50 million of his own money in it, and borrowed a loan from the state of Rhode Island for about $75 million. And the game didn't do that well. It was partnered with EA, but it didn't sell well enough, and they had to file bankruptcy. And I think the state of Rhode Island ended up in a long lawsuit, got the rights to the game.
Yeah, and that was going to be like my first, like, the state of Rhode Island owns the IP. So I'm curious, did this new THQ buy the IP from them?
I'm assuming there was someone in the state of Rhode Island council that had no idea what this was. And then when THQ was like, we'll give you some money for this, they were like, okay. The only thing that sucks, though, is what I didn't even realize, but I saw someone on Twitter pointed out. The people that developed this game are not, they probably didn't see any money when the studio went under, and they're not going to see any money from this remaster
right. That's
coming out, just because it's been through so many. The change of ownership has changed so many times that no one's actually going to see the money on this that actually worked on the game, which was actually a pretty good game. But the whole point of this game is it was supposed to launch a MMO. I forget what the MMO's name would have been, but Kurt Schilling was really into MMOs, and he wanted to make one, couldn't get the funding for an MMO, settled for this, and this was supposed to be the launch pad for a full-blown MMO. That just never happened. And we ended up just getting, like, a decent game out of it. And Kurt Schilling turned into a monster later on and vanished from the face of the earth, right? Hopefully. Probably not. Alright. Next story. This one, it's a little weird. Need for Speed Heat is getting cross-platform play. Just out of nowhere?
Almost, what, 9-10 months after launch?
Oh. Yeah. Significantly later, they get cross-platform play between PS4, PC, and Xbox One. This is going to launch with the next patch, which I believe is coming this week or next week. And they just kind of put it in a blog post saying, like, hey, crossplay's coming, Criterion's working on the next Need for Speed game, which you'll see at E3, or not E3, EA Play, in like 2 weeks. But it's going to work like most cross-platform play games, where you're going to basically have to have an Origin or EA account and then have a separate friend list so you can keep track of your Xbox friends and your PC friends, which I don't mind doing. Call of Duty or the Activision friend list is kind of weird how that works, but it works well enough. Mm-hmm. Which I'm surprised more companies aren't. I'm expecting we're going to have a lot more cross-platform announcements in the next couple weeks with games.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's going to become the norm, and like or the standard.
Yeah, there's no reason for it not to become like the standard thing for all this. And I don't know. I don't see why more companies wouldn't do it, especially because you're forced to make like an EA account, you're forced to make an Activision account, you're forced to make an Epic account. That's what these companies want. They want to make their user base big so then they can send you emails and get information. So I'm surprised more companies aren't jumping on this, so then you have to make a secondary account on top of your PSN or Xbox Live ID. And I guess this is a good sign. Maybe they're doing this to experiment. Like, this is going to be like a low-key beta test for stuff. I'm waiting for something as big as Madden to do cross-platform play. I don't know if that will ever happen, but I'm really hopeful, because I think if Call of Duty can do it, and then a big sports game can do it, I think that's going to be like a game changer for everything. To where we'll hit that point where we'll be asking, why doesn't this have crossplay?
Yeah, I think that if something comes out in the near future that doesn't have it, especially on next-gen consoles, like, I think that maybe possibly current-gen, there might be something that's holding it back. Some of it could be that the massive difference between consoles and PC performance, I think, does play a factor.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's inevitable. Like, if Call of Duty can do it, why can't anybody do it?
Yeah, but I will be surprised if we don't start seeing this more for big games. We just need some big. I think Call of Duty doing it was a big step, and hopefully EA starting to do it with their games will cause something to happen that will allow them to make this just a wide thing. I know Epic Games, they were talking about how it's built into the Unreal Engine, like, network infrastructure that you can, like, get. You can, like, license the ability for cross-platform play in their, like, dev kit, which just, you know, makes it even more of a head-scratcher when, like, an Unreal Engine game doesn't have crossplay, you know, in it, because it's just like, we know the SDK is there and it's available for people, but no one's taking advantage of it. So the only weird thing is, like, next gen, I totally expect PS5 and Xbox One X games to be cross-platform play, but I wonder if it's going to be an issue with, like, Microsoft doing all of our first-party games will be on Xbox One X and Xbox Series X. Like, because you're talking about having potentially, like, 5 or 6 platforms all communicating with each other, which shouldn't be too much of an issue, but it's just a matter of, like, server load and getting all that friendless stuff configured. Will Sony draw a line in the sand with the, like, hey, PS5 only, we're not going to bring PS4 players to PS5.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting too, like, how that's even going to work if, you know, Call of Duty comes out and, you know, it's obviously going to come out on PS4 and it's going to work on PS5. Whether there are going to be two separate SKUs, which we don't know yet, then, you know, I think that it'd be a huge mistake. And I'm using just Call of Duty as an example. Even if Madden decides to support crossplay, I think it'll be a huge mistake if it's only PS5 can play with Xbox Series X and PC, and you can't, you know, like, play, like you said, like, everybody's just on EA servers and you can play with anybody that's on the server. Like, yeah, you can filter it to say, hey, I only want to, you know, let the player decide. I only want to play a PS4 to PS4 because, again, like I mentioned about the performance issues, I don't want to play against somebody that can run 200 frames or whatever, like, you know, or I don't want to play against a keyboard and mouse user, which you can kind of control, but you can't, because I've seen people just plug keyboards and mouses and other peripherals into PlayStations and play.
Yeah.
But I, you know, at this point in time, like, I just think that the way that gaming is going, it's just the play anywhere, play with anyone is just going to be the standard and the norm eventually.
Yeah. Hopefully it is. Well, I guess we'll find out later this week as more and more stuff gets announced. Hopefully more stuff gets announced. I'm so excited for the PlayStation 1, but I'm also excited because I think it might be a disappointment for some reason. Like, I'm going in kind of just like after like the Xbox One and just the messaging from Sony, I'm just like, I'm like trying not to get myself too excited or overhyped for it. All right, final news story. This one should be quick. I just thought it was cool. Dead Island 2, which has been in development hell since E3 2014. A build of the game, from the first studio, Jaeger, is out on the internet, and people are playing it and putting up YouTube videos. So someone found a very early build of this game, and you can see what the game would have looked like, or what it looked like in 2014, and think of the possibilities. As the game was showed off at E3 2014, I feel like I went to an appointment for this game, and I may have played it with Josh, because me and Josh saw a zombie game together.
Dead Island, it was like a critically ridiculed game, but community like enjoyed playing it. Like, a lot of people had fun playing the game.
Oh, yeah,
it's kind of one of those games where it was like, it had its issues and it had its glitches, but like when it was working, like, but a lot of people said it was fun, and the atmosphere of being on, you know, on the island doing all the stuff that you're doing, people really enjoyed, and there was hope, you know, like, hey, the concept of what you're working on is really cool. Like, maybe it was rushed, and now we're looking forward to what else you can do now with you learning what you like, how the players play the game. And so the expectation and the promise around Dead Island 2 was very high.
Yeah. And it didn't help that it just went through so many developers now at this point for Dead Island 2. And apparently it's still being worked on by Deep Silver. I believe the chain of command or the chain of custody for this game, it was originally being worked on by Jaeger, who did Spec Ops The Line, which people were really excited. The idea of the Spec Ops The Line people working on Dead Island. And then it was moved to Sumo Digital, who were the Little Big Planet 3 developers, and they kind of do stuff for a bunch of different games. Like, they worked on Crackdown. They're like an artillery studio, support studio.
Those big words.
Hey. And then it moved to Dam Busters,
which is the most terrifying of the three studios to be working on it.
Yes, Homefront Revolution. they're working
is that your
on
lowest,
it.
One of your lowest scored games, right?
Second lowest. Yeah. The lowest scored games was Afro Samurai, because that game was trash. But yeah, Homefront Revolution developers have been working on it, apparently. They were confirmed to be working on it as of August 2019, and we just haven't heard anything about that. And Deep Silver knows they have a game that has like a recognizable name, so it's not going to be dead, but I just don't know what we're going to get.
If what we're seeing is true, how much do you think the atmosphere of the world currently right now with COVID is them staying quiet about this game?
I've been wondering that a lot too. That's why I'm like kind of like worried about The Last of Us. I know it's going to be a good game, I'm hopeful it's going to be a good game, and I'm just not that excited to play it because of the current world. I don't know. Like, this game's already been in development hell and having issues. I could totally see them being like, "Hey, maybe we wait a little bit to reintroduce."
I mean, at this point
it?
In time, what does it hurt? It's almost 6 years since you announced it, anyways. What is it going to hurt if it's 7 years?
Right. Exactly. Just go quiet until it's done, and then shadow drop it. Like, just drop it and be like, hey, you know what? Out next week. And then you'll probably build up more hype than
yeah, and then the same thing.
Marketing.
Like, I almost feel at this point in time, like, if it's ready or if it's playable and you want to hold it, maybe, like, try to shine up the first one and say if you pre-order the second one, you get the first one remastered for free.
Which I think they already did, right? Didn't they?
I don't know if they did or not.
I feel like they did. But, yeah, like, do something. Like, if I remember, they just did, like, a straight port of it. Like, maybe make it pretty or just make it a pre-order bonus.
Maybe make it so you don't fall through the map every 10 steps.
Yeah, the online's not broken and then people can't get a trophy. I think I'm missing a platinum on that on the PS3 just because there was like a trophy glitch.
Probably.
So I do have fond memories of the first one. It was a good, cheesy game. I just remember late nights playing that with my friends when we had to use like Skype as voice chat because the PS3 voice chat was so bad. So, yeah, I don't know. I just like that the build got out there. We've been seeing this a lot happen a lot lately. Gears of War 3 on the PS3 leaked online a couple months ago, which was cool. It was just like the story behind that was Epic weren't planning to bring it to PS3, but they just wanted to test the Unreal Engine on the PS3. So they just ported Gears of War 3 to the PS3 internally. And the build for that got out, and you can see it being played on a PS3 on YouTube. And there's a bunch of other weird stuff that's been, like, kind of leaking out there. Which I wonder if it's just, like, a side effect of everyone working from home, just, like, moving stuff. And then it's just like, hey, we just have this Google Drive or this server to download stuff, and someone gets into it. And it's just like, oh, what is Gears of War 3 on PS3? And then they download it and try and run it.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah. But that is it for the news. Kind of a light week, but after the heavy week that was last week. Yeah.
I think the video game industry just like collectively just took a step back,
which I think was the right move. They needed to do that, and I'm glad they did. And then now we're just going to get an avalanche of video game news this weekend, which is going to be fun. Expect, hopefully, a PlayStation podcast from us.
Yeah, I don't know why you jinxed that, you jerk.
Yep, no, you never know. Could get canceled again, who knows?
All right, so what we're playing and watching. I'll go first. Watched a lot of just movies. My son's girlfriend, my oldest son's girlfriend, was in town. She came up from Kentucky.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. People know you have, like, a five-year-old.
So she came up and stayed a couple days. Also, my daughter graduated high school this weekend. So she had her, you know, parade at the school, which is was kind of like a womp womp. But they tried their best. And then our church that we go to actually did a really good job for the senior class of like doing a graduation. So we had a lot of that stuff going on and, you know, kind of had our, you know, my family kind of had their first like social gathering over at my brother-in-law's and sister-in-law's house, bonfire and, you know, food and everything like that after the graduation. So that was kind of cool. Just the first time in a couple months that I had sat around with some, you know, other people other than my direct family and hung out. So, my, you know, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and all of us and my son's girlfriend. But she was in town, so we did we were doing some stuff with her, just trying to, you know, go through the motions. And I was finishing up a little bit of stuff at work. And so I dabbled just a little bit in Destiny. We've talked about this before, like each season has a title that goes with the season. And they've been doing this for the last three or four seasons. And it's kind of like I get a little OCD when I'm super close to it. It's kind of similar to trophies, but I don't really care about trophies. But for some reason, I care about these little unnecessary titles in Destiny. And this one was like for Almighty. So I did that title partially because Destiny also tried their first ever live event, Fortnite style live event in their game. And it was
failed.
Okay. It overall it was a fail because lack of communication. They only gave you like 24 hour notice that it was happening, which is kind of weird in general. And then they didn't set the expectations correctly. So Destiny resets for me every day at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So that's when like all your daily stuff changes. You can pick up new bounties and there's new new quests or, you know, and then of course it has the weekly reset, which is part of the reason why you see me like stream Destiny like on Tuesdays a lot, because Tuesdays when the game resets weekly. So they tried to do this live event. The whole gist of the season is this ship was being sabotaged and being plummeted towards Earth. It was the ship that Gaul was on, who was the main villain from the base campaign story for Destiny 2. And we were, Rasputin is this huge war mind, and the whole season we spent this time like powering up his defense system for him to shoot the Almighty out of the sky. So then their Twitter account and their Instagram account say, tomorrow, Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific time, Rasputin takes his shot at the Almighty. And everybody's like, cool. So we get on at 1. I'm actually on at like 11:30 or 12. Again, this is the same day my daughter's graduating. So I was thinking,
I saw those tweets.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, this would be a 15 minute, 30 minute event, you know, initially I thought maybe it was just going to be like a cutscene, and it wasn't a cutscene. So when you're in the tower, which is the social space for Destiny, during the season, you could actually see the Almighty getting closer to Earth. You looked at the sun, you could see the ship. And then, you know, so at like 12:15, so like 45 minutes before reset, I was playing, I was messing around in the game, and it a notification popped up. Rasputin taking his shot at Almighty. We, you know, please go to the tower. And I'm like, okay. So like maybe they want, they were worried about too many people being in the towers, you know, blah, 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 blah. It took 90 minutes for the Almighty to be shot.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling we're going to see a blog post come out later that talks about like actual time it would take a missile to travel based on where the Almighty was. Cause
oh, Bungie, I would love that. I would love that.
Bungie tries to do some stuff like very realistic and very realism, which is great. And the ultimate, the end factor, like I didn't even get a chance to watch the whole thing because I had to leave because I had to be a responsible adult. The ultimate end that I saw, like on some clips, was really cool. Like watching, you know, standing, watching something happen in Destiny as a quote unquote live event in multiple instances of the tower, of seeing the Almighty do physical damage to the tower and then seeing it crash, was cool. Like that aspect was cool. That could have been done in 15 minutes, not in 90 minutes. And the problem is that I don't know the tech that goes behind it, but you were able to, like, you could watch these red beams, like, slowly get closer to the Almighty. And people were having to, like, on PC, like, lower their field of view to be able to see the, to see it better. Cause, like, if your field of view was too wide, like, you weren't able to focus on it. Like, there was all these other things, and it just, it looked really, the concept behind it looked really cool, but the graphics of what they were doing weren't great. And yeah, it's like they, again, if they just would have explained it at 1 o'clock, Rasputin will fire his shots and they will take time to travel, like, but people got on at 1 o'clock and they're like, okay, what are you doing? Like now it's 1:20, now it's 1:30, now it's 1:45. Oh, I think I see a little speckle in the sky getting closer. And then like, and then you started seeing like these little like glittery effects, like of like what like appeared that the missiles were hitting the ship. And then you saw that like the supernova style boom. And like that part was cool. Like if you watch the clips on Twitter, like watching it get hit was cool, but it took 90 minutes to get to that point.
Yeah.
Of people standing in the tower looking. And they, again, the technical feat behind it was very interesting. NPCs in the game were moving and reacting to what was happening. Ones that had been stationary all the time in the tower were had changed, slightly changed position and were looking in the sky. The other like guards, I guess, that walk around the tower were pointing at the sky. Like, so they were able to do these things. And yes, this is the first time they have done a live event. But again, like we, the whole gist of Destiny is I can go from the tower to the moon or to Io or to Nessus in like 45 seconds in a ship. Why does it take 90 minutes for a missile to reach him? Like, I understand realism, but if you put realism in travel time from Earth to Saturn, nobody would be playing this game.
Yeah, that so, just sounds more frustrating than anything.
Yeah, and again, just like a very interesting concept, but could have been communicated and executed a little bit better.
Yeah, oof.
Like, or saying, like, hey, like, you know, a couple hours before reset, he takes his shot and projected impact is at, you know, 1:05 p.m. or whatever. Like, and you could, you know, mess with that. And they're like, oh, we're, because at first they tweeted, like, grace period to get people in. Like, you don't need a 90-minute grace period. Like,
no, just, and Fortnite does a thing where they just replay the thing. Like, you can go to a separate replay and see it, you know, if you missed it, you maybe you could have went back into Destiny later and be like, hey, here's what you missed. But no.
Like, so it's that, just, it was, it,
that
it,
sounds frustrating.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea of what they tried to do. But I, again, just like I talked about a couple news stories ago, you see how Fortnite does it and you decide to do something like this. And it just doesn't, it just leaves me scratching my head. Very cool idea. Fascinating concept. Great job technically pulling off what you pulled off. Excuse me, but figure out how to do it faster or communicate it better. So that's what, that's pretty much all I played and watched. I played like a couple games of Madden against my son and, you know, and then also found out that my 20-year-old son has not played any of the Uncharted or Last of Us, at all, and showed his girlfriend the first 15 minutes of Last of Us on YouTube. And she
make
then
her cry.
Yeah. And then she pretty much told her my son that he has to play that game now.
Nice.
And, you know, been doing some stuff around the house, getting some things ready. You know, just got some new furniture in the living room. I'm kind of like preparing myself mentally to play Last of Us Part 2 upstairs because my wife's not going to let me play this game without her watching it. So I need to...
Yeah, I got
to
move my PS4. My PS4 is currently in the bedroom. The Pro is in the bedroom because Sarah's using my desk space or our desk space for work at home in the morning. So I moved my Pro to the bedroom. I'm going to need to put that in the living room so I can play it on like the big TV with like the nice sound bar and everything. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was trying to get some stuff ready in the living room and, you know, for us to, I have no desire to stream Last of Us 2. I don't think anybody would want to watch a stream of Last of Us 2. If you're interested in Last of Us 2, you're playing it. If you're not interested in it, you're not going to play it or watch it. That's my opinion. And so like that probably won't be something that I stream. That'll just be something that, you know, with my wife and I hanging out and trying to, there's this delicate balance of, I want to play the game and enjoy the game and experience it with my wife, because we've experienced the first one together. And then also I do want to get through it as fast as possible to A, not be spoiled, and B, to be able to have a relevant conversation with you and other people about the game. You know, so there's like kind of that give and take. Thankfully, my wife's home much more than she's obviously ever been before, and my son's PS4 is here, so
yeah.
I just watched a bunch of random movies too, like she had never seen Rookie of the Year, so we watched Rookie of the Year. So it's just, you know, it's fun to watch those kind of things, but that was pretty much what it was. It's a lot of hanging out with family and celebrating my daughter graduating high school.
For me, it's been a lot of my comfort game, which is Overwatch. I don't know why I got back into Overwatch. It was just one of those things where the world seems like it was going to hell for a little bit, so I just started to play Overwatch. GameStop did a flash sale on all the Overwatch action figures. And these are usually $15 to $30, but they were going for $3 each. So I bought like 10 Overwatch action figures, and I think that just made me want to play Overwatch more. And then I ended up watching this YouTuber, Twitch streamer, Tesla Sciences. He's a Moira main, which is my main, and he did two series where he took her from bronze to grandmasters, which is like a big feat. And he did that twice, so I've been watching that, and Sarah's actually been playing on the PC, you know, learning like keyboard and mouse. I refuse to play keyboard and mouse, so I'm just on my PS4 on the console. I'm more comfortable with the controller. I know it's the inferior way to play, and I'm playing like the bad version of Overwatch.
Dude, but I enjoy on it. My PC with a controller.
Yeah, but you get your ass kicked on PC with a controller.
It is what it is. So.
Yeah, so I've just been playing Overwatch, man. I was so frustrated. I had some of the best. I did my tank placements, which I had never really done before. I had some of my best tank matches ever, and the game placed me in silver. And I don't know if that was his punishment, because that's season 22 and I'm just now doing tank placements. So that frustrated me. So now I'm in like silver hell, which is just everyone in silver thinks they're a grandmaster or a top 500, and they all quit if things don't go their way, which is why they're stuck in silver. And most of the games I've lost is because someone leaves from my team that throws a fit, and once someone leaves, there's like no way of you winning the match. So I've just been getting my ass kicked in Overwatch in silver. Luckily, my Moira, who's a healer support class, that's platinum, but I'm in a different hell, and that's platinum hell. So I've just been grinding away at that, and then watching Overwatch videos afterwards. I ended up buying Assassin's Creed Origins on PS4 just because I got some news about like my work status might be a little bit extended in terms of like
free on PC.
Probably, but it was on sale for with all the DLC for like $15. So I was like, okay, you know what? Let me play it, and I'm more likely to play it on PC on my PS4 that I have access to 24 hours than I am on the PC.
Sounds like another daytime stream game for Michael.
It might be. though it might be a zone out and just collect all those stupid collectibles that this game probably has, like all Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, for sure.
I bought that, and then I bought the Batman Arkham collection because that was like $10, and I
I've been thinking about that, but I haven't played Arkham Knight. I have Arkham Knight, and I haven't beaten that yet either. So, but I beat the other two. So,
yeah, I don't care about Arkham Knight. So I was just like, I just want to replay the first one. It's the cheapest way to replay it, which I hopefully we'll have time to play it. And then something I want to shout out, itch.io is doing a, I think it's called the Social Injustice, or let me get the exact name of it.
Yeah, it's like that $5 thing, and you get like 50 games, don't you?
It's a couple hundred now.
Yeah.
So bundle for racial justice and equality. So half the proceeds go to the NAACP and the other half goes to community bail bonds. And there's a couple hundred indie games with this. $5 is the minimum buy-in. You can put as much as you want towards it. And there's some really good games in this bundle. Like Oxenfree's in there, Future Grind.
It's all PC though, right?
It's all PC, yeah. DRM free, PC and Mac, so they'll give you the Mac version as well.
Yeah.
And this gives you the executable file. Other games that were in it, like Overland, Semblance, weird games like Collateral Damage. And then
yeah, and I'm not saying it's just like it's all PC is a bad thing. Like, you'd be surprised with these types of games, which are a lot of indie focused games on there. They probably will run on a work computer, like a computer. Like for by your job. So if you guys have like, if you're listening and you're a console player and you have like a work from home computer, or you have a laptop, like, you probably would be okay to check this out. You would definitely get more than $5 worth of content while supporting amazing causes. So
yeah, and again, it's a couple hundred games, and a lot of them are weird indie games, but from my experience with these indie games, even if they only last like 20-30 minutes for some of the games, it's a worthwhile experience, and at the entry price, which you can set past $5, is definitely worth giving it a shot. And then just like Oxenfree alone is a fantastic game. I love that game. Future Grind is a great game, and there's just so many other games in there. So I was thinking of, like, later this week I might just play a bunch of random ones, like the really short ones, on a stream. So I might do that, depending on how busy it is with all the video game news coming out.
So that
is it for me for playing and watching. It's just a lot of Overwatch, which every time I think I'm done, like, a new season starts and I get hooked for a little bit.
Yeah, I got a new season of Destiny starting this week, so that'll...
and then we have a game for review. I can't talk about it or say what game it is, but there will be a review for a new game next week from me and Dave. And a ton of video game stuff to talk about, so...
Yeah, next week will be pretty packed, so... We got some cool stuff, like, lined up content-wise. Like, as this stuff is ramping up, there's some cool ideas that Michael and I both have, so... We'll see how it all plays out. I don't want to, you know, set expectations too high, but we're trying our best to provide you guys with unique and diverse content. But we want to know what you want too. Like, you know, do you want more solo stuff from both of us? I know you guys have said that I'll probably do a little bit of solo stuff over the next couple weeks for Destiny. Michael's got some solo stuff planned that I'm trying to push on him to do a little bit more solo stuff, because he kind of seems very introverted even to his microphone.
yeah. Can be a little bit. No, but I have some stuff lined up for July now.
Yeah.
So I might be doing a little bit more.
Yep. And as you guys have, like I've said, you know, over time, you guys, as we're growing, we're able to spread our wings a little bit more. And people, you know, when we reach out to them and they look us up, they're like, hey, like, these guys are legit. So, yeah. And that's because of you guys listening and sharing and reviewing the show. So please, again, continue to do so. So, yeah. All right.
And if you have a podcast and you need a guest, I'm available. And I'm sure Dave is available as well.
So. Yeah, I can make it work. So
yeah,
I guess I have to work around my schedule a little bit, but if you guys want to talk to either one of us, just reach out. We'll happily do that. All right. We are going to jump into some questions. So you can send us questions using hashtag Ask Digital Days on Twitter, on Facebook. You can post it in the group. You can send it in Discord. In our Discord server, there's an Ask Digital Days. All the links to all those things are going to be in the show notes. So please check them out. Our first question comes from Chip. Similar to what we were talking about earlier. How do you guys really feel about Last of Us 2? The question stems from something I heard that totally resonated with me. The gist was that it wasn't fun to play the game because it was a constant tension, but the story was so good you had to finish it. Totally my experience. I personally never felt like Last of Us was unfun to play. I feel like they did a really good job with the pacing in that game and the storytelling of, you know, whether it was a puzzle encounter or a, you know, a combat encounter or a talking encounter, that it seemed to work really well. So like it, you could, it kind of had an ebb and flow of going up and down for me. And I've heard a lot of, as I've been researching more into game development, like that seems to be the goal of developers sometimes, is they want to get you, like you get your tension like really high sometimes, or your anticipation really high. And then they'll kind of have like a long walking conversation area. They'll try to have a little bit of a funny area, another long walking conversation area, and then another peak. And, you know, as we've even, like Mark Cerny talked about on his PS5, PS4 hard drive comparison, they use some of those areas kind of as loading screens. And it'll be interesting to see as tech advances if that still needs to be the case. And I feel like some games still need that. Not necessarily the loading screens, but they still need the quote-unquote filler content to calm your heart rate and to calm your emotions down and things like that. And I feel like Naughty Dog has always done a really good job of that with Last of Us and Uncharted. Uncharted maybe didn't go as high in terms of tension tenseness as Last of Us has. But in terms of like action and scenes and storytelling, I feel like they went up there with that as well.
Yeah, I think this is Tripp is referencing something that I talked about previously, and I put it in a Facebook group just to see if anyone else feels this way. Like, I Last of Us was fun for me, but there is a certain amount of tension in that game that kind of gave me anxiety, and I feel like I'm feeling it more for The Last of Us 2, even though I haven't played it, because we're going to be playing as Ellie for probably a good chunk of this game, and I think I'm just really attached to Ellie. To where when I'm watching the trailers for this game and Ellie's in danger, I feel something, which might sound silly, but I get, like, nervous for her. And previously I played as Joel, and Joel, I kind of almost felt like he was invincible, but I was always trying to protect Ellie. And now that I'm playing as Ellie, any mistake that happens in the game is going to directly hurt Ellie, because she's going to be, like, the main player. So I feel like a lot of my tension, like, I'm dreading The Last of Us Part 2, just because I'm like, I don't want to hurt Ellie. Like, I want to keep her alive. And I'm fine with that, because that's exactly what that game's going for. So I'm not going to not play it. But there's definitely some anxiety to where, like, anytime I mess up in a game, I'm going to be like, oh no, I let Ellie down.
I think that's a valid concern. But I also feel like I have enough confidence in Naughty Dog that I don't think that we're going to turn Last of Us 2 on and immediately start playing as Ellie.
Oh yeah, no, I know, I know that, but so I just think know the
transition
the
into that is gonna feel correct, you know, because again, like going back, like Uncharted 4, where it lets you play as Elena a little bit, I going back and forth with some of that aspect of it. I fully expect to go back and forth somehow with between Joel and Ellie in the game, whether they're telling two different stories that are running parallel to each other slightly. I think that there's going to be more aspects to it than that. That's my guess. I literally don't know any other reason. I haven't looked at anything for that, so it's purely my guess. But I just have, I guess, call it blind faith. Like there's five games that I've played from Naughty Dog, and I have never walked away disappointed or annoyed with anything. Yeah. So I don't. The tension aspect of it is valid for most people. Like watching those, like there's been a bunch of I've been watching ESPN, there's been a bunch of Last of Us Part 2 commercials, and it's, you know, it's showing Ellie like stressed out, hiding, you know, turning around, firing her weapon, and you know, like, and maybe they're gonna push it too far, but I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, the violence was pretty intense in the first game, and then everything we've seen for the second game, the violence is super intense. I hope it doesn't turn into like some of the some of the crazy stuff like the Tomb Raider games would do in the last couple of ones, where Lara was just getting beat up and destroyed, and I hope it doesn't go that crazy with it, but I have faith that I'm going to get a good experience from the game, but I'm just going to be a nervous wreck while playing it.
Get ready for a bonus spoiler cast, because this is probably going to be one that we're going to do near the end of the month. So.
Yeah, we're definitely going to hopefully marathon through that game. Yep. I think I could knock it out in a weekend. Pretty confident.
Well, you don't work, slacker.
Yeah.
All right. Not very many questions this week, so our last question, but you know, show's right on target for time, what the goals that we have. So I always say his name wrong. So, because he's told me, okay, so it looks like it says Hussein Saeed, but he's told me that in Twitter, like I've never spoken with him, but I feel like his name is somehow Brian.
I'm pretty sure I'm on Facebook with him, so I believe it's that.
Yeah, not it's sure. Like somehow that is pronounced Brian.
No, I don't. No,
there is an aspect to it of something like that, but unless he uses something different. So, do you ever think that Destiny 2
Saeed
will announce?
Is the person that asked this?
Yes, that's what I said. I said the last name part that I can say correctly. Okay. Do you ever think Destiny 2 will announce crossplay between console and PC? I answered this in the Facebook group today, not knowing that Michael was going to put this in the questions because I usually try to avoid doing that. But I'll talk about it on here as well. Yes, I do. But I think it'll be only on next-gen consoles. And I also feel that after a certain point in time of in spring of 2021, Destiny will drop support for current-gen consoles, similar to how they did.
You're going to miss those load screens.
Similar to how they did, because people forget that Destiny 1 came out on PS3 and Xbox 360. And when Rise of Iron expansion came out, which was kicking off their third year of content, they dropped support for prior gen consoles, so for PS3 and 360. And I actually had an interview with one of the community managers at Bungie, and I directly asked him why, and he said because they ran out of space on 360 and PS3s of what they could support as a game download. They actually physically ran out of space, so they would have to remove aspects from the game. And I think that could still be the case with PS4 and Xbox One, where there could be a space limitation. Although it is rumored that something could possibly be eliminated in Destiny 2 in general. Like, they might, like, completely decimate a destination as part of the story. There's hints that a planet could be obliterated. So
yeah, I mean, WoW did that, so that's not, like, crazy of an idea.
And I think there becomes a point where, like, you keep layering additional content on top of additional content on top of additional content on top of additional content that you either have too much content, which, yes, you can have too much content, and which makes all of it irrelevant, or you have to remove something. And if they can do something in the story where they remove something to show a feat of power for a new enemy or something like that, like, that might work. So it'll be very interesting. But I also think that there are, like we've talked about before, I feel like there are engine limitations on current gen consoles that are preventing certain crossplays from happening.
Yeah.
So. All right. So our spotlight, I feel like, will be the PS5 reveal. As you guys are listening to this, depending on when you're listening to this, you might actually just double check your feed. There might be a new episode already for you to listen to. We will have impressions of PS5. And then, you know, like I said, there's some other stuff that we have in the works. I'm hoping to do some Destiny stuff.
The Destiny stuff delivers, right?
Yeah, a lot of it's going to depend on the reveal and if it's content or quality content or not. So we'll see. But as everybody knows, that's a game that changed my life, and I still enjoy playing that game. So that's not going to stop me from playing it or not playing it. So whatever they bring out in September, I'm going to play and I'm going to like, I know. And then whatever this season is, I'm going to play. I don't know if I'm going to like it as much as I did other stuff, but we'll see how this goes. So just be on the lookout for that. And hopefully we can ramp up a little bit of streaming. We've got some stuff, some stuff in the works. So again, if you're not following us on Twitch, please follow us on Twitch. If you were watching this show live today, I apologize. My internet upload speed took an absolute crap.
Yeah.
During the show. So if you were watching on Twitch and you're wondering what happened and now you're listening, sorry. It was down to like 0.4 for some reason. I'm actually surprised I didn't lose connection with Michael at all. So
almost a couple times you were very robotic. I was just like, oh no.
So we'll have to see what this looks like. So, but I'm not really sure what happened, but it's the internet. It happens. So, but we will, you know, like, thankfully the backups of a backups are in place for our content, as we've learned over the years of making sure we have safety nets built in. So again, please just share the show, get more eyes on the show, share it on Facebook, retweet it on Twitter, write a review if you can write a review, share
if we
on...
hit 50 iTunes reviews, Dave has to watch WrestleMania. We're at 32 right now, so oh my we only God. Need 18 more.
If we hit 60, Michael has to play Destiny with me.
Okay, yeah, sure. We'll do that fucking raid that I hated.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, like just like all the social stuff will be in the show notes. We'll link that the social injustice link for all those games. We'll put that in the show notes as well. This is me telling my editor to put that in the show notes.
I actually do the show notes every week, Dave. But
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, she still puts them in there. So, mm-hmm. And then you just change them.
Yeah.
But again, thank you guys so much. The support, the downloads have been great. The reviews have been great. Sharing the show has been great. Patreon has been amazing. It's shocking and humbling at the same time. Like, I still get little butterflies in my stomach every time I get a Patreon notification on my phone, because I know that means that it's a new supporter, and it's always amazing. And then just to see who it is. And then, you know, I have personal conversations with them, whether it's through Discord or through messaging, and to find out why they're doing what they're doing always is humbling and makes us feel good. It makes us, you know, makes what we do worth it. You know, like, you guys think it's the little things, but anybody that's willing to financially support what we're trying to attempt to do here, and they're willing to reach into their wallet and say, hey, here you go, I enjoy what you're doing, really helps us push the wheel farther. Every time we get one, we text back and forth like, oh, hey, we got another one, like, this is crazy. And if you guys keep it up, like, with the Patreon support and the Twitch support, like I said, like, the content is just going to get better, because we're going to be able to upgrade our equipment. We're going to be able to, you know, purchase consoles that we may have been more of a struggle before. So again, those are huge helps. But with all of that in mind, everything that's going on in the world, do not feel obligated to support us on Patreon. It is there as a form of support if you want to do that. You guys listening to the show and sharing the show is more important than you supporting us on Patreon. So,
yes,
I do not want anybody to feel obligated or socially inept because they're not supporting us on Patreon. That is not why we put this in place. We put this in place as a way for you guys to say, hey, I like what you're doing. Here's some cash. And we appreciate every one of you for doing that. So
it's a attaboy. There you go.
And you guys really like the bonus episodes. So, and we're thinking about putting a stretch goal on the bonus tier. If we hit a certain amount of tiered bonus tier supporters, that we maybe will do 2 episodes a month, because if you guys are showing us that much financial support, we can show you that. We can show you our gratitude by producing more content for you. So, all right, you got anything else, bud?
Nope. Just excited to finally get the new console stuff rolling.
God, please don't suck. Please don't suck.
Oh, I know. Right. So, like, for right now, like, I want to do like a special episode for the PlayStation reveal, and then Xbox has their first party reveal in July, so I'd want to do a special one for that. So hopefully there's worthwhile stuff for us to talk about, because I really don't want to record Thursday and it's just me and Dave being like, what the fuck was that?
So in terms of the Xbox thing, like, I'm really curious, because you guys all, most of you guys know we came from a PlayStation based background. Please tweet at us, Xbox content creators or Xbox people, like, top tier is a bad word, but people that are strong in the industry of Xbox, Xbox fans, Xbox coverage people that you would like us to possibly reach out to have it on the podcast. Like, it can't be somebody like, I'm sorry, like, I could, as much as I would love to have it, Greg Miller's not coming on this show anytime soon. But, you know, yeah, it would be amazing. Like, you know, him or Colin Moriarty or even somebody from IGN or any of those things, like, would not be somebody that we could reach out there. But I would love to have an Xbox, you know, creator, content creator, YouTuber, podcaster on the show with us and to have a conversation around Xbox. You know, somebody that has deep roots in playing Halo and Gears and all that stuff, and to talk to us about what they may or may not reveal in their July event. So that is something that I would love to have some suggestions for, so that we can start the ball rolling to hopefully schedule something with them. I know that, like, we've talked about, like, Chandler Wood, the editor-in-chief for PlayStation Lifestyles. He's, you know, like, that's a pretty big PlayStation site. But, you know, I love Chandler, but he's a writer. He's not a content creator. So he tweeted something the other day about the Bungie reveal and, like, and not being able to play right away because they're doing a reveal and then the new season's going to kick off, like, within the hour. And I was like, I read that tweet, I'm like, hey, I'm not a writer anymore. I don't have to worry about that. So, but again, I hope everyone's out there being safe. Yeah, clean, wash your hands, don't be a dick, don't be a bad person to people. Let people live their lives the way they need to live their lives. And I hope everyone just keeps moving forward and have a great week. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, see ya.